Hello, good afternoon, or is it morning time? You know, when you get up early, you think it's already afternoon. It must be if you're up so early.
Wow,
you know?
It's that kind of weekend, I see. I wasn't ready for all that. Wow, that's hilarious. You tricked me.
Well, you know.
Oh, I was ready to go.
You thought I'd just say good morning, didn't you? But at my house, it didn't work that way.
Wow. It's been a crazy week then for you, hasn't it? I can tell.
It has been a crazy week.
A little saucy, you know? On a Saturday morning.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm used to like, oh, good morning. It's a wonderful day in Texas. And
I know.
For some story.
Well, see, sometimes us people out here on the range, we have to get up early, like at 3:25 in the morning. So, you know, it's already half a day's gone.
We've been doing this so long. I wasn't ready for that. Oh, that's the funniest thing I've heard. So, I mean, my whole train of thought now is gone. So I want to say, like, how's it been this week? Is it hot? Did it finally cool down? But I don't know what to do now.
Okay, well, let me lead you into this. It has been hot. It was so hot that one day it felt like 112 degrees.
Oh.
That reminded me of last summer. You know how hot it was last summer? People were keeling over. Their animals were keeling over. You know, I mean, and we've had a lot of trouble with the pond. And, you know, it's just, they said, well, the float's too high on the pond. Oh, my gosh. You know, the pump has went out on it. I mean, the waterfall's doing good, but the waterfall doesn't feed the pump in the pond.
You've got that complicated system where you have to have some kind of like NASA degree to, I don't know how they set it up.
You need a master's degree to attend to that.
You really
do. Then the neighbors were calling, the pond's running over. The pond's running over. I got three calls.
Really?
Yes, people were concerned. And I'm saying, I'm doing everything I can. Oh, my gosh.
You're out there in the yard with sandbags. Hold the port, laddie. There's water coming through.
That's right. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, in a quick deal, how do I get this fixed? And I finally got someone on Sunday.
Oh,
and, you know,
really?
They say not to work on Sunday unless your ox is in the ditch.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, how about the llama being in the ditch? Will that cover it?
I think it did.
So the guy got everything fixed. They got the drainage fixed for right now. Got the wrought iron gate back on its little truss there.
What, that came off too? So,
yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is the third time the gate has come off the little track.
Oh, my word.
I don't think they put enough bolts in it when they bolted it down. My theory.
Really? That's weird. Now, you're not, like, running into it, like, with the truck or anything, are you? I mean, just...
No, I mean, well, you know, we have people coming in and out there, and the vet was here the other day. And somebody said it tore off part of her car.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my gosh. The vet probably won't come back.
No.
The vet will say, the heck with that. The
vet had to probably pull over and pick up their bumper.
That's it. I think she had to do that. So I said, we better get this fixed because she won't come see about my llamas if she can't get in the gate.
Oh, my word.
So we got it all fixed.
And all this is real. I mean, you're not making any of this up at all, are you?
I did not make this up. I mean, I lived through it, let me tell you. With water going everywhere and, you know, the neighbors calling. And,
oh,
I mean,
my word.
I'm not telling you that people are nosy. But they're on top of everything.
Well, I'm going to go with they're nosy because that's what it's like.
I mean, they are on top of it. If something happens at my house, they know about it.
Well, it is nice, though, that you've got concerned neighbors that tell you the water's overflowing. That was nice.
That's right. And the neighbors' donkeys came over. They didn't want to go home. I mean, you know, what else can happen?
Oh, my word.
I mean, it's like a damn zoo some days.
Literally, I have never talked to anybody in all my years on this planet who has ever said to me, the neighbor's donkeys came over and didn't want to go home.
That's right. The donkeys like us. They love the llamas. They did not want to go home.
Oh, my word. Nobody's
and the neighbor doesn't care. It's okay with him.
Oh, that's
the sad part, you know? He's got a hole in his fence, and it's not bothering him at all.
So, see, he has no intention of fixing that hole, does he?
No, he doesn't. I'm going to have to fix it, because otherwise the donkeys might not ever go home.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. Pretty soon, I have a feeling you're about to adopt a couple of donkeys and feed them and care for them.
Well, they're nice donkeys. They don't bite, and they don't kick. But,
they're nice
donkeys. Don't you think I have enough in the farm already? I mean, we've got all the llamas.
Oh, my word. Woo. I'm going to need some water after this. Oh, my
I know.
Word.
It's a busy place.
Wow. I can't even believe you got the guy to come out on Sunday. I mean, what are the odds of that?
I can't either. But we told him it was kind of an emergency. And he said, tell me what all I need to bring. We need to bring some rock and a few other things, you know? And by golly, he showed up.
Wow. Oh, my word.
Woo. It was an emergency.
Clearly it was. The ox,
yes, an emergency.
The ox was upside down.
That's right. My ox was being gored, let me tell you.
Wow. Oh, I didn't expect any of this on a Saturday, that's for sure. Goodness.
Well, you know, you need to come out to the farm and see what life is really like, you know?
You really need to put, like, some cameras up around the place and just film all this and just edit it all together and make a show out of it. You don't even have to try.
I know I need to. Several people have told me that.
Oh, wow.
It would make a difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You can make millions just by selling, you know, something like A Day in the Life of Faye Bagby.
That's right. I think we should do that in our spare time.
Yes, I'd watch it. I mean, just based on
the story. I think everybody probably would.
Yeah.
They'd watch the donkeys kicking and running and the llamas. And then we could do a whole new show on Bella.
Oh, you know, yes.
Because she gets the zoomies and she runs and runs and runs and darts in and out and everywhere else.
That is the cutest puppy I think I've ever seen, and she has
she
more energy.
She is adorable.
Oh, neat. I mean, she's just, I mean, she's cute, she's funny, she's smart. She's just like all awesome. She's awesome. What is she? What is she? She's a
A Bernedoodle.
Bernedoodle. That's what she is.
Yes, a Bernedoodle. Miniature Bernedoodle.
A miniature Bernedoodle.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So far, we've talked about Gates coming off the thing, a flood in the pond, the fountain, donkeys coming over to visit, llamas. And
haven't even mentioned making money.
No, we hadn't done any of that. This wow.
Do you think I should tell you the progress we're making on the money side?
Yeah, we can, if you want to. Sure.
I mean, you know, this week we bought two policies, you know, and policies have been scarce. But we bought one that is 6 months, and we bought one that's 9 months.
Really?
Yes.
Now, those...
And I turned two down. So, and we've got some others we're looking at, and I think they'll be as good as these. But these are the shortest ones I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying 8 or 9 in a long time. I mean, that's...
I haven't, because we haven't had anything. Everything has been long-term. And the ones we turned down were 3 years because the man was playing golf. And if he's playing golf, I don't want any part of it.
He's out living his best life. It's not something that you're interested in. So.
And I looked on our books today, and the total money that's been returned to clients, total money, is $200 million.
That is incredible. That is real money.
It is incredible.
I mean, I just...
That's real money. That's checks. And we're still waiting on this Brown policy, and, you know, hopefully... It'll be here any day. We've never had one go long like this. And we know that we told them as soon as the person died, and there was a lot of trouble getting the death certificate, which we haven't had that happen in a long time. And on July 31st, they said everything was in working condition, which means they should be ready to send the check, but we don't have it. And several people have called me about that check.
Now,
so I'm hoping that any day we get the checks in.
When there's
we
a
will notify them just as soon as we do.
I mean, it's great to have the check. Obviously, that's the ultimate goal. But when this happens, is this the kind of situation where it qualifies for people to? I mean, don't they have to pay interest on the time that they delay, or is that something else?
Yes,
I'm thinking of?
And so we're going to see how much extra interest that we get.
Cool. I mean, that's extra money.
I'm hoping it'll be a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. I don't know what day they're going to say that they're paying it from.
Hmm. Yeah.
I would think they would pay it from July 31st.
You would think, but boy.
That's what I would think, because that's the day they notified us that it was in good condition.
Huh. I mean, that's...
And I don't know what it was that prevented it from paying right away. Remember, it's in the name of the trust, Nevada Trust, and the check will be coming to Nevada Trust and going in their accounts.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and you've been dealing with Nevada Trust. How long have you been with Nevada Trust? It's been years, hasn't it?
Years and years.
Yeah.
We started out doing two companies. We were doing Bank of Utah and Nevada Trust. And then we found out that Bank of Utah had all these huge fees they were going to. So we said we need to move all the accounts over to Nevada Trust, and we did.
And it's paid off big time.
It is paid off big time because they pay interest on the accounts when they're in cash. And nobody else does that. The banks don't do it, I can tell you.
No.
On my checking account, no, they don't pay me anything.
Mm-mm.
And if you leave it at a Nevada Trust, they will pay you interest.
Yeah. I mean, I mean that's one of those things where, you hate to... You never want to encourage people to just leave their money sitting in their account. But in between policies and things like that, it's got to be, you know, there someplace. And that whole time it's there, you're still making money. And so it's just...
You're getting a return on your investment, yeah, even in the, yeah, when it's in a checking account.
Yeah. I mean, that's just awesome. I mean, it's just every layer. It's just, you know, you've really kind of, I think, and I'm sure it took, you know, a little bit of trial and error, but, you know, you've really kind of narrowed down the fact that, you know, you've reduced any chance for people to not make money as much as possible. You can't say that in the stock market. You know, so even if people's money is sitting still, it's still making money. You're dealing with a trustee. You're dealing with the actual, like, when you call Nevada Trust, there's actual people there. Like, you don't get
real
lost
people
in a phone
the
system.
Vice President, James Chris, or the president of the bank, anyone, yep, will talk to you. And they talk to all my clients at any time on a given day.
Yeah. I mean, it's
and
just...
if somebody says, Faye, I wonder how many policies I have. We can look up your account at any one time, tell you how many policies, what your profit is, how long you've owned it, when your last maturity was, anything you need to know. So we work close with Nevada Trust. We can get you any information you need.
You know, it's so rare that people run into a situation like that, because most of us are used to now we're living in a world where it's, you know, press 1, press 2, press 8, press 0, say this word, say that word, and then you end up in a thing, and then you end up going around and around and around in an endless loop on these phone systems. It's very difficult to talk to a person now, and every day that goes by, it seems like that just keeps getting worse and worse. And just the fact that you are there all the time to actually pick up the phone, Nevada Trust is there all the time to pick up the phone. It's just, just that all by itself is a big deal. So, you know, people don't
it
have
is,
to.
Because they don't have to talk to somebody in New York,
yeah,
or Philadelphia or Los Angeles. You know, they can talk to Nevada Trust or they can talk to me. And a lot of people hesitate to call me, which they shouldn't. If they have a question, they should call me.
Yeah.
Because I'll talk to any of them, as you know.
Yeah, at any time about anything. And so...
That's right.
You know, you don't... I mean, getting a personal touch these days is so rare. It really stands out much more as a big deal than it used to, say, even 10 years ago. And so that's a big deal. And then after all that, then we get down to, okay, what about the actual making money part? Even with the progress that you've made over the last many, many years, as far as narrowing this down, you know, looking at, you know, the information that's available, that's gotten better. You're looking at
profit?
Yes, yes, profit okay. is what I'm thinking of. I mean, you're doing things to make those even better for people than they used to be. And it's always
that's
been
right.
a conservative
investment.
We're
doing a investment. Better job, a lot better job.
Yeah, yeah.
We still have some old policies, but I'm hoping we're going to get rid of them this year, hopefully.
Yeah.
And everybody... Now there seems like their policies are coming in on time or early, and we're thankful for that. We've got better life expectancies than we did have. We've got better doctor reports. And, you know, the average return on these policies is about 24%.
Yeah.
And the newer policies are doing so much better. People are making more money. As I said, we've returned a lot of money. We returned $5 million this month.
Oh, geez. Just this month?
Yeah.
Really?
We had five policies mature.
Wow. I mean, you...
And Brown is the last one that's matured this month. So everybody's been paid on the other. There was $1.5 million on one. There was $500,000 on another one. And I think there was $1 million and then this last one.
Jeez.
Mr. Brown. So people have gotten a lot of money in, you know, several million dollars this month.
Yeah. And the risk that they had, and here's the big thing, the risk that they had to go through to get that is so small compared to anything else. You know, it's just the fact that you're dealing with life insurance companies just all by itself just makes these such a conservative type of investment that, you know, it seems to me like when you say things like, okay, it's been $5 million returned this month alone, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, geez, you know, nobody is going to find that kind of a return with that little risk. And that much information going in any other investment that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, I think it's the most conservative investment I know because, you know, as I said, the average return is about 24%. So every time they get money in, they can reinvestment and make their interest higher and their more money in the bank. And that's what they're here for. We have lots and lots of IRAs and lots of Roths. We have a lot of joint accounts. So when people come to us, if they want to make a faster return, they're going to do a life settlement because they know this is people with cancer that, you know, have a short period to live. And we try not to do long policies. We turn long policies down every day because, you know, it's an IRA and we need to get them as much money back to their IRA as we can.
Yeah, and I mean, when policies come in, you don't just randomly say, okay, well, you know, based on the headline here, we're going to go ahead and buy this. You go through every single policy, line by line, making sure that it's exactly the type of thing that's going to be profitable for investors, not in a long period of time. So you're not looking at any kind of, you know, returns in 20 years from now. You're looking like you were saying, for the short-term returns, and to have something that's going to be still profitable at the same time. So I would imagine probably the amount of policies that you turn down and don't even bid on is probably, I'm guessing, at least maybe 50-50, if not more. I mean, I'm sure it changes, but I'm sure it's a lot more
than
what
we imagine.
Well, I
don't know how many it is, but every week there's three or four that we do turn down because, you know, first of all, they're not sick. Or the doctor reports say it hadn't metastasized. If it's metastasized, it's moved to other parts of your body. The ones that I think are the best, when it says it's already in rib 5 or T4, you know, the different ribs, or if it's gone to the extremities, it's either in the blood, it's in the lymph nodes also, it's in the pancreas, or the colon. But a lot of them, when we get them, it says, as I said earlier, the guy's playing golf. And you know that guy is going to live for years to come.
Yeah.
So if he's had it since 17 or 18, I don't think he's sick.
No.
I don't think his doctor does either.
He'll end up being 120.
But the ones that say in 21 they came on him or 22, we know they're ill. And they need to sell it to get the money, not just to have fun.
Yeah.
And these others just want to sell their policy. They're 70 years old and want to sell it.
Yeah. Those are the commercials that we see on TV where, you know,
the people are
enjoying their lemonade and they're reading the paper and playing tennis and all the other fancy things they do. Those are not the ones you're bidding on.
We're looking at the ones that are really ill and they call us, want to sell their policy to get extra money. Then we have people that not only are they very ill, they want to settle their estate. They want to put up the money now for the different children. And we always go back to that one guy that said, you know, I'm not leaving this to my son. I'm leaving him the house, and he's mad about it. And lots of times people are a little anxious to get your money.
Yeah, they are. I've seen people do some crazy things to try to do it.
After story what the heirs have done. Yeah. And I know that if my clients were still here, they'd be turning over and telling them that isn't going to work.
I bet you could probably write many, many volumes of books with all the stories that you've heard about and seen with your own eyes. I can't even imagine.
And I had one not long ago on an annuity. The lady was a client of mine for many years, and she was estranged from her daughters. And she had not left them any money. And after she died, the grandchildren were calling me wanting to know why they had to fill out the form to get the money. They wanted to get it quicker than that. And I said, there's no other way. You've got to fill out your claim form and say who you are and your address, your social, all this in order to get it. And her boyfriend calls back and says, isn't there a quicker way to get this money?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they couldn't wait 7 or 8 days to get the money.
They want
it right now.
Wow. That's just creepy and it's icky and it's just, I don't know. That's weird. Not in a good way. But I'm sure you've heard all kinds of things. And so, you know, it's like annuities, you know, when you're talking about annuities and how they're, you know, pretty much etched in stone. Haven't you said before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't annuities non-contestable? Like somebody cannot take you to court or the estate to court.
It'd be hard to do because it's separate from your estate.
Mm.
It has its own beneficiaries. The contract is different. And the contract lays out, you know, it's not ambiguous. It says, this is the heir. So somebody else comes up and said, I'm supposed to get part of that money. Well, no, the annuity says this is who's getting it. And that's who they pay it to. They will not pay it to an outsider or somebody that says, I was supposed to be included. If their name is not listed as a beneficiary, they're not getting it.
Hmm. So they could fight over it, you know, after the fact. But as far as legally, it's not happening. So
no, they can't fight over it then. Now, if it's your estate, they can say, you know, it's the wrong will or the will's been changed. They can allege anything. And they can keep it tied up in court for a long time.
Yeah.
They're not going to keep an annuity tied up in court.
No, that's done, and they can't drag it out and all that. So, all right. Well, that's good to know, too, just the fact that they're secure. But just because you set up an annuity today doesn't mean you couldn't say, because people have falling out with family members all the time. And so
all the time.
Yeah. Are annuities adjustable? Can you make changes if something happens?
You can make any change you want. You're the owner, and as the owner, you can do anything you want. It's your policy. You own it. And the other people are just beneficiaries. In other words, they're just along for the ride till you die.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And what I love about annuities is this year, you know, they've had the bonuses, which are wonderful. And that 14% bonus is still here. You know, we thought they were going to cut it out months ago. They didn't. So it's still there. You know, these are huge life insurance companies, $60 billion, $20 billion, you know, big companies. And they pay off like a slot machine. That's what I love about annuities.
Yeah.
When the death comes, they pay off. Now, let's say you're not looking for the death part right now. You're looking for to set it up as a retirement income. You know, it's compound interest. You don't pay any taxes so you take it out. So it's going to grow more if you're not paying taxes on it every year. So, that, you know, there's a lot of advantages to annuity. I've never heard anybody say, I don't like my annuity. Ours, everybody loves. There may be some other companies people don't love, but it's not the ones we use because we've been doing business with them since 2003.
So is it fair to characterize an annuity as maybe a, I'm hesitant to say it this way, but an income source because they're so regular?
An income stream.
Okay.
Yeah, you will have an income stream. A lot of people, I've been doing a lot of annuities this week, and the people, wanted, they, you know, they've got their IRA with us and some other things, and what they wanted to know was would they be able to take out enough money every year to live on?
Right.
So we set it up for that they will have the amount of money they need every year.
So,
and if they don't want to take that much, he asked me that. He said, what if I don't want to take that much? You don't have to. It's not written in stone. You have the option of how much you want to take, up to 10% every year.
Just to give people an idea of what types of, I guess, investors would be possibly interested in annuities, is this something that's good for people pre-retirement to build up or maybe after
retirement?
Yes, if
you're 50 years old, 45 years old, you could start an annuity now, and when you get ready to retire, you should have quite a nest egg, depending on how much you put in. I've got some people that come every year and put additional money in because they're not retired yet. So they're building it up every year.
So how many, there's what, 14, I think, options to choose from with annuities?
There's a lot of options in it. They've got so many index choices, it's unbelievable. And every year you can change it. If one index isn't paying as much as you think it is, if you don't think your return was good enough, we can change it to something else. And the company itself, sometimes they change indexes themselves if they think one isn't paying as much.
So they're constantly making improvements to make
They're making a lot of improvements every year.
Wow. Is there a
They know at the end of the year whether they want to keep those indexes or make a change because they know what they've made. We know what the contract has made. If we need to make adjustments, we can. Sometimes you can leave it alone for several years because it's paying off like it is.
So for now, for somebody who's never done an annuity before and not really sure how it works, is there any kind of either a limit or a recommendation for how many annuities somebody should be in, or am I saying that all wrong? And
if it's over $2 million, we have to get company approval. If it's under $2 million, they will accept it.
All right. So then,
without asking, you know, either justified.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it's in, and oh, and the other thing we should point out is, and you say this all the time, but it's very important every time we talk about annuities, is that they mirror the stock market, but they're not actually in the stock market.
That's
so,
right. They're never directly in the stock market. They're safe because they're in the annuity. It mirrors the stock market. If the market's going up, you get paid. If the market goes down, it stands still. It's locked.
Okay.
You don't have that loss.
So you don't have to worry about
that risk of loss.
Yeah. I mean, your principal is safe no matter what.
That's right.
Oh, cool. And then you got the bonus on top of that. So it's like more money on top of
that. That first year bonus gets you started really well.
Yeah.
Plus whatever it makes that first year. So you're ahead of the game starting out going in.
When people are looking at building their portfolio in a conservative kind of way, it doesn't I mean, depending on where people are in their lifespan, in their investment career, is there one that's more beneficial than the other? And I'm talking about annuities versus life settlements. Is there any?
Okay, there's a big difference. An annuity is an income producing.
Okay.
Okay? It's a yearly income producing for you. A life settlement is going to give you cash, a lump sums each time.
Okay.
Okay? So when you have a life settlement, if it pays 24%, you get that at the end of the trail when that person passes away. You get that 24% right then.
Okay.
And then we add it back into your portfolio, put it back in the bank for you. Then you can do another one and another one and build up your cash, you know, your profit. So your profit grows faster than it does an annuity. But an annuity is an income-producing instrument.
Okay. And then those payouts, they're you can almost you can put them on a calendar as far as when they will be with a life settlement. You can't really, you know, pin it
to
the
day. No, you don't know. You think you know. We think we know, but we may be off. The ones that have come in lately, they came in on time, and a couple of them came in early.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, either way, you know, if anybody's looking for, you know, conservative investments, especially as people get closer to retirement, you know, people may be riding the other options right now. But, you know, there's also some fear that what goes up, you know, the balloon will burst at some point. And so it might be a good time that if people have been making money in other options, that this might be a good time, would you say, to move some of that over, at least get something going in something conservative in case something does happen with, say, the stock market or something like that. Take their profits and
well,
reinvest.
And another thing a lot of people have done lately, they're putting a certain amount in life settlement, then they're putting a certain amount in their annuity, and they know that if it's in cash part of the time in life settlement, if you have an emergency, you can get to your cash.
Mm. Yeah, that's good thinking. I didn't even
and
think about
no
that.
There's no penalty. You can get to that cash. If it's in cash, you can take some out. There's no penalty if you had an emergency.
Hmm. Yeah, we don't really, I guess I hadn't really thought about that. It's not something we talk about very often. It's just making sure that people have that emergency money.
You know, and that's right. And because in a regular checking account, they're not going to pay you.
No, it's just sitting there.
In a regular checking account, at Nevada Trust, they'll pay you interest on it.
Yeah.
So in between investments, not only do you have available cash, but you're making some money. You're not just sitting there spinning your wheels.
I mean, just that alone, even leaving the investment part out, that is that in itself is a pretty fantastic reason for people to start making a move. Call you, hey, I want to get over here.
We have 23 million on deposit.
Oh my word! Wow.
The clients have got 23 million there.
Good Lord, that's a chunk of money.
It is a chunk of money.
I mean, the interest that you earn on you know, obviously the more you have, the more interest you're earning. But it's just, I mean, why I can't for the life of me sit here as you go over all these things. I can't think of why anybody would be at another bank, do any kind of other investment and be involved with anything else, because no matter what happens, they're still making money no matter what. Even if they're not investing, they're making money. Obviously, if they are investing,
that's exactly right.
More. But that's the game of it all. So, you know, I mean, it just seems like a win-win no matter what happens. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. That's the first time we've given out the phone number today.
we got all crazy at the beginning.
I know, we got so crazy we didn't even give out the phone number.
We didn't do that.
So if somebody needs to call us, you know. That might be a problem.
At least one of us is on top of it.
That's right. Somebody's got to be.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be the grown-up.
Yeah.
I think we know which one of the two of us is the parent and which one is not.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Okay. Texas has the longest cable bridge in the U.S.
What?
Did you know that?
Are you serious?
Yep. It's a brand new bridge. It's a cable bridge, and it's just opened. It's an amazing deal. It's the Harbor Bridge, and it's in South Texas in Corpus Christi.
Really?
It's the longest cable bridge in the U.S. It's magnificent. I have pictures of it. It is magnificent. And they've had a lot of cable bridges in the United States, but this is the biggest and the longest.
Wow.
It's amazing.
I didn't know that.
And they've just had the grand opening of it. They have a pedestrian, a cycle place. You can cycle across it. You can walk across it. It's pedestrian friendly.
Wow. So it's not one of those that goes straight up and then straight down like the other one.
No, it stretches 2.4 miles along the south side of the bridge.
Really?
And residents, visitors, they can safely jog across. They can walk across, or they can back across this thing.
Wow.
And it's the biggest in the United States. Now, the tallest part of it is 538 feet tall.
Oh, my word.
It's taller than the Texas State Capitol. I tell you how tall this thing is.
This is mammoth. Oh,
wow. It is mammoth. And it's 3,290 feet across the ship channel.
Oh, my word. Really?
And the main structure is the length of 5.5 football fields.
You got to be kidding me. That's
it
insane.
It has a clearance of 205 feet above the overpass underneath. Can you imagine? Now, when Texas builds some, they build it.
Yeah, we do.
They don't just mess around.
No. Wow. Whoever had the title of the biggest before, I think we probably crushed it big time.
Oh, we've crushed it. Now, it's got two massive diamond-shaped towers that support the deck with hundreds of cables. I mean, I saw so many cables. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's got advanced engineering techniques and that people never even heard of. But it's going to be the longest cable concrete bridge in North America.
Well, see, now we need to have something like that. We need to take another title from people. I love that. It's fantastic.
I know it. And in Corpus Christi, Texas,
oh, yeah.
Corpus is a small place, but they built this massive bridge because it's a port, and they needed it for ships.
Yep.
And they needed to modernize where more ships could come in there, and it'll help the economy.
Yeah.
No telling what this thing costs.
Oh, my gosh. I would hate to even guess. But, boy, I bet it is magnificent.
And it's taller than the Texas State Capitol. Can you imagine?
Now, remember, we're talking about a bridge, and it's taller than the Capitol.
I know. It's taller than the Texas State Capitol. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
It's scary. You know, they built so many bridges in this country that are so scared, you know, people almost close their eyes, you know, to go on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they built this, and I didn't even know they were building it. And I realized, you know, how big this thing is.
I mean, you think about a bridge, and it's like, okay, there's a bridge. But the dimensions that you're talking about and how far this spans and and not only that, but also the clearance between the level, like
yeah,
the water below.
Yeah, 205 feet,
yeah.
The clearance even.
I mean, that's huge. I would imagine probably you get on this and feel like you're on the top of the world.
Yeah, and they fixed it where pedestrians can back across, walk across, all this kind of stuff on this huge thing.
I mean, that's to have room for cars and you know, people and bikes. It's just, I mean, this has got to be like a monster. How long have they been building this?
Well, I know that it's been quite a while. It's probably been 2 years at least.
At least, I would say. You know, it's just,
yeah.
I don't even,
I can't even. I mean, see, I've never actually wanted to go to a place to specifically see a bridge until now. I mean, I want to see this. I want to walk.
Oh, everybody's going to want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it, not only can you bike and do all this, it's got an observation tower. I mean, an observation deck. Can you imagine? It said that the view is beautiful from the top.
Wow, I bet it is. Oh, my
word. Now, can you imagine biking or walking across this huge bridge?
I
just can't imagine doing that.
I can't either. My guess is, based on the way you describe it and what I'm picturing, is you would probably get out on that thing to walk across it and probably feel so small because of the huge size of this thing. But I would imagine probably the views are breathtaking. I would imagine it's so majestic. I would imagine it's done in true Texas style. I can assure you that.
True Texas style. But all these cables holding it up.
Wow.
That's a little scary to me.
Yeah.
You know, engineering-wise, I'm sure it's right, and I'm sure it works right.
Oh, yeah.
But it's scary. They said new techniques have allowed them to do this with all these cables. They have hundreds of cables across that thing.
To hold it up. I just can't even... I don't think I've ever really seen... anything that sounds this massive before, as far as a man-made type of structure like this.
I think you're right. I don't remember ever seeing one like this. I mean, I've seen some scary ones.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
there were several scary ones.
Yeah.
But this cable deal is magnificent. And I imagine people... we'll go there just to see it and to walk across. I wouldn't walk across.
No. Well, I mean,
I would never get out of my car.
No, but I'm almost tempted to now just to kind of like take it all in. You know, it's just, and it's probably one of those things where if you were to get out and walk across it, you'd probably be looking up and around and thinking, how in the world did they do this? I mean,
I don't know what engineering company did all this.
It has to defy logic, I would think, to us, you know, regular people who don't know about engineering. But I bet it's
And remember,
wicked.
There's just one side open.
Yeah.
The other side didn't even open yet.
Yeah.
That they opened that one side. They were so excited about what they accomplished that they've already opened this one side for pedestrians and everybody else.
When is the rest of it open? Have they said? Is there a date? Do we know?
Well, they didn't say. They just said the south side is now open. They've already had the opening ceremony. I guess they wanted to get it open so bad, they just opened that one side as soon as it was ready.
Yeah. Well, I think if my math is right, I think next weekend might be Labor Day weekend, and I kind of see a long 3-day weekend in store to go see this thing.
I think a lot of people will go to see it because it's a marvel. It's the biggest one in North Texas.
Yeah, yeah. In all of what North? It's the biggest in North America. Is that what you said?
In North America,
wow,
the biggest cable bridge in North America because of the span.
Yeah,
I just
the fact these kinds of things always fascinate me because you know it's one thing to build up and put stuff on something that holds it up, but to have it kind of like, and I know it's not literally this way, but to have it built down and like hanging, it's
that's
just...
right, it is hanging in the air and all these cables are supporting it.
Wow. It's fascinating to me how somebody even thinks of stuff like that.
And it's amazing to me how tall the darn thing is. Taller than the Texas Capitol.
Yeah.
You know, that thing is pretty high in the air.
Yeah. And you know it's got to be spectacular if there's an observation deck. I mean, good Lord.
An observation deck on a bridge.
On a bridge.
Wow.
Oh, my word. I wonder
we'll
if
have
you can...
to look up and see what company built this thing.
Yeah. And how much they got paid to do
that. I started to say, what this thing cost.
Wow. That's just, it's fascinating to me. I'm literally in awe. I didn't even know they were building this. Is this, Is it a thing that everybody knew, or was I just like under
a rock? I didn't know about it.
Huh.
I kept seeing that they were building the biggest cable bridge in the United States, but I didn't even take notice of it. You know, I didn't realize it was in Texas.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
when I realized it, I looked it all up, and I go, oh, my gosh.
Surprise. It's
That's
not
right.
just a
it
little bridge.
It was a big surprise to me.
Yeah.
Because I've been to Corpus many times, and I would have never thought about Corpus having this bridge.
No.
I just never would have.
I mean, of all the places, that's probably the last one I would pick to you know, where
yeah,
I would find something.
Yeah, if it'd been Houston or somewhere really big,
yeah.
you know, that does all this, but no. Galveston, maybe, but not Corpus. It's not that big a place.
Yeah.
But apparently, they have a big sea traffic
wow.
coming in.
I bet. I bet that's just monstrous to see. I wonder if it, like, when you're standing on it, if you can feel it, like, move.
Moving, I imagine. No. I think it has to move with the wind.
You would think, but I mean, that's like, and I'm sure it doesn't move like a hammock, you know, but.
No, that would do it. People would not be going across that thing.
Yeah, I'd throw
but
up.
Can you imagine? The only thing is hundreds of cable is holding it up.
It's just, it's mind-blowing.
I don't understand engineering-wise how that works.
No, I don't either, but golly, it's just...
But they're threading the cables through there, threading them through.
Wow, that's got to be a sight to see. And anytime there's any kind of a new roadway or a bridge or something like that, before it has all the tire marks and the skid marks and all that, they're always, like, really glorious that way, too. I always like to see new roads like that, but... Boy, if you were going to go see something like this, this would be the time. Even if it's only half open, you know.
It'll be the seventh wonder of the world.
Yeah. Wow.
People will they'll come from all over to see this.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. So I see a trip east in my near future.
There you go.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I wonder if it's one of those things where whatever company built this, took the money and had enough to, like, retire. I mean, if it's that big, I wonder if their profit was
huge. You know,
I
wonder about that. I don't know what bridge builder built it, but
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up and see what it costs.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. And plus the bragging rights for that thing. I mean, geez.
And I don't know, would the state of Texas been the one that paid for it?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody did. I don't know.
I'll bet the state paid for it, so that means all of us paid for
it. Yeah.
You know?
So we all own a little chunk of a bridge.
Probably so. You know, you've heard about taxes and all this.
Yeah.
I think Texas has a bridge fund.
We probably do and just don't know.
We just don't know about all these things.
Oh, wow. All right,
but it's the biggest in North America. Again, Texas is at the height of everything.
Yeah,
the biggest and the best.
Yeah, when I sit and think, okay, what don't we have the biggest of yet that we need? A bridge was not going to be at the top of my list, but I'm glad we do.
You didn't think a bridge would be next that we really had to have?
I did not. No.
Wow.
But I'm glad we have it though. I mean, that's cool.
It is cool to have the biggest suspension bridge in North America.
Yeah, I think we got everything cornered now. I don't think there's anything left to have bigger.
You don't think there's anything else to build?
No, we got the biggest of everything. What else could there be? There's probably a committee someplace, somewhere, that's sitting around thinking that very same question. What else could we make the biggest of?
You know, years ago, we had the biggest haired women in Texas. You know, when they had those beehives?
Yeah.
You know, women in Texas had these big, huge bouffant hairdos.
Yeah.
And that was probably the biggest in Texas.
I bet you're right. And some still do.
I didn't know they still did that.
Oh, there. Wow. I've seen them. I've seen some. Yep.
Okay, well, see, they've kept some of those old ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, why walk away? Why, you know, why give up
that
crap?
If it works, do it.
Why not? Okay, so before we wrap, with annuities, there aren't really any whole of, there's not a lot of, what do you call it, risks, a lot of...
That's right. There's not a lot of regulation on who can get in. You must have still money at home for emergencies. You can't put every dime you've got and say, oh, I don't have anything left to live on. They're not going to put up with that. So you have to be sure you have still have a checking account, savings account, other things. They're going to look at what your expenses are and what your profit is per month.
Okay.
Other than that, they're not going to have a lot to say.
All right. So between the two, between annuities and life settlements, annuities are probably the easier one to get in.
Yes, it's a little easier.
Yeah.
Now then, if you're doing a life settlement, you must be accredited. You must either make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
The risk, the biggest risk is what the premium is. If it goes over the life expectancy, you would have to pay premiums. We escrow not only for the length of time, but 12 months past it. So we've got that buffer in there for you on that.
Okay.
The other thing is, it's not liquid till it matures. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so for somebody who was in, say they want to come over and do something more conservative and they're interested in life settlements, should they have all of their assets added up before they come over, or?
Either way. We'll help them if they don't have it done. Most people know approximately how much they're going to transfer to us. Some of them just bring a check.
Okay.
They bring a check for $250,000, $300,000, or $1 million.
Okay.
And when they bring the check over, then we overnight it and get their money invested right away.
Okay.
So they're going to get that 14% bonus up front.
All right. And how long does it take to get set up for these? Is it a fairly quick process, or
it is quick. It didn't used to be, but now they can do it in about a week.
Oh, that's fast. That is quick. So
it is fast.
All right. The key, though, is for somebody who wants to get started to come over, get some information. They do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. A lot of great things on the website.